Well, here we are. Can you hear me? Can you hear me? Okay. Well, this fan is going to be the death of me yet. Oh, my sheets are flying away. Okay. The topic for today is hearing God. Okay. Thank you. Great. So, does God speak to people today? Many people are urgently asking this question. In fact, this issue is at the heart of the Christian life. Christians want to choose the spouse God knows is best for them. They need direction with their careers. Baffled parents are desperate for God's wisdom in rearing their children, and so on. Most Christians acknowledge their need for God's guidance. Many seek it. The problem is that they are not sure they recognize God's voice. In moments of honest reflection, they may doubt God actually speaks to anyone today, except perhaps to a select few. I have had the experience of having God speak to me audibly, and it was a very interesting experience. This is one of the reasons I am here in the West today. Otherwise, I would still be in Montreal. Even a casual perusal of the Bible reveals a consistent pattern of God speaking to people. For example, God spoke to Adam and Eve in the garden. God spoke to Abraham, to Moses in the burning bush, and throughout his whole pilgrimage from Egypt. He spoke to Joshua, to Elijah, to Samuel, to David, to all the prophets, and in the New Testament, God spoke through Jesus in many ways, and to the apostles via the Holy Spirit. It is the same Holy Spirit that inhabits every believing Christian today. God spoke to all of these ordinary people through many different ways. To some, he spoke audibly. To some, through dreams and visions. One had experienced a donkey talking. We know who that is. Elijah had a still, small voice speaking after an earthquake and thunder. The people in those biblical times knew when God spoke. In Isaiah 52, verse 6, it says, "Therefore my people shall know my name. Therefore they shall know in that day that I am he who speaks. Behold, it is I." The Gospels record many instances where Jesus spoke directly to men and women after his resurrection. He first appeared at the empty tomb and spoke to Mary Magdalene. He joined two confused men walking to Emmaus and discussing the day's bizarre events. And only after he departed did they realize that they had just talked with the risen Christ. He appeared to the 11 apostles in the upper room several times. He spoke to his apostles at the place where he ascended to heaven. So the question I have for us today is, in what ways should we expect God to lead us today? This is what I want to spend our time considering this morning. In Acts 9, 1 through 6, which we read, after Pentecost, the risen and ascended Jesus appeared to Saul of Tarsus on the road to Damascus, and at the same time, Jesus spoke to Ananias to minister to him. The important thing here is that this was after Pentecost. That means that we are now after Pentecost, and the same Holy Spirit dwells in all believers. Paul later writes in Galatians 2:20, "I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me, and the life that I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." However, it is possible for us to neglect the Holy Spirit and have no communication with our Lord, and this constitutes a turning away from God, who also dwells in us. Saul was doing what his upbringing dictated, and his zeal was directed by the religious leaders at the time. But Jesus turned Saul around 180 degrees, and Jesus taught him what the truth really was. That is, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and that he is the only way to God. The same zeal Saul, now Paul, drove him to be the greatest missionary and church planter ever. Later, Jesus appeared and spoke to John on the island of Patmos to deliver a message to the churches in Asia. Some believe God rarely, if ever, speaks to people today. Proponents of this view contend that God perfectly revealed everything people need to know about himself, salvation, and the Christian life in the Bible. Some also study the Bible and they find safety in theology and dogma. So they cling to dogma and facts about Christ rather than enjoying a vibrant relationship with him. The scripture tells us that God wants to be involved in the lives of his people. That is why he created us for an intimate relationship. Moreover, the truth that God made us in his image should not be erroneously extended to imply that he made us his equal. God is all-powerful and all-knowing, and we, obviously, are not. Most of the time, our five senses are reliable interpreters of reality, for he designed them to be trustworthy. However, Isaiah 55, 8 through 9, indicates the best human thinking is far below God's wisdom. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. People who make decisions based merely on what seems most advisable to them will inevitably choose something inferior to God's best. The writer of Proverbs warned, "There is a way that seems right to man, but its end is the way of death." Even Jesus did not rely on his own best thinking, but depended completely on his heavenly Father for wisdom in everything. He acknowledged, "I can do nothing on my own. Only as I hear do I judge, and my judgment is righteous because I do not seek my own will, but the will of him who sent me." That's found in John 5:30. The sinless Son of God, the only person who perfectly fulfilled the Father's will, did not make decisions independent of the Heavenly Father's personal direction. It seems absurd to think that anyone else should. Some people are understandably wary of any talk about hearing a direct word from God because of the rampant, exaggerated abuses of this claim. We all know of many instances of leaders and cult leaders who have lined their pockets claiming a word from God, or led some to mass suicides and various delusions and oppressions. When God speaks, he does not give new revelation about himself. That contradicts what he has already revealed in Scripture. Rather, God speaks to give application of his word to the specific circumstances in your life. When God speaks to you, he is not writing a new book of Scripture. Rather, he is applying to your life what he already said in his word. God spoke to people in many ways in the Old Testament. Angels came to Lot to warn him of the impending disaster where they were living. Prophets also spoke about disaster if the people wouldn't stop their idolatry and their evil ways. Jacob saw visions like the staircase from heaven, and God spoke to Moses through the burning bush. But now we are living in new covenant days. So how should we expect to hear God speak to us today? When it comes to answering this question, we need to look at how God spoke to his people in the New Testament. The first thing we see is that in many ways, very little changed in the way God related to his people today. As in the Old Testament, angels appeared throughout the New Testament as God's appointed messengers. The angel Gabriel came to deliver a particularly wonderful message to Mary. While Paul was lost at sea, God sent an angel to comfort him and to tell him about God's plans. God used dreams to warn the Eastern Magi not to return to Jerusalem. An angel also appeared in a dream to alert Joseph about Herod's evil intentions. Ananias also received a vision to prepare him to heal Saul's blindness. And at the same time, Saul got a vision about Ananias coming. Peter also received a vision that transformed his attitude toward the Gentiles and subsequently his entire ministry. The Apostle Paul received several visions that propelled him in his missionary journeys. While Paul was praying in the temple, God spoke to him, warning him to flee from his enemies and instructing him to evangelize the Gentiles. In the scriptures, prayer is often presented as a two-way conversation, wherein people hear God responding to their prayers. Although prophets are usually associated with the Old Testament, God continued to use prophets in the New Testament. The Holy Spirit directed Agabus to predict the severe famine, as well as predicting Paul's arrest as he went to Jerusalem. Prophecy is listed as one of the gifts of the Spirit. Signs were events that pointed people to God. Sometimes they were miracles, other times they were world events, all pointing to Christ as the Messiah. Jesus condemned those who witnessed his miracles but refused to repent of their sins and believe in him. Even today, miracles happen, especially in the third world countries where idolatry is rampant, but turn to Christ as their last resort and find him faithful, and whole villages are turned to Christ. God continued to use preachers such as Peter, Paul, and Apollos to proclaim his truth. The Bible indicates that preachers are essential for people to hear God's word. It is obvious scriptures guided Jesus throughout his whole life. The book of Acts repeatedly mentions the disciples basing their actions on the scriptures. The Holy Spirit guides us and highlights scripture for us to learn from and deals with our negative ways and actions. So you could say then, when Jesus came to earth, nothing changed and everything changed. God continued to reach out to people in ways that mirrored Old Testament ways, but the writer of Hebrews said, long ago, God spoke to the fathers by the prophets at different times and in different ways. In these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things and through whom he made the universe. That's found in the very first chapter of Hebrews. So, what was it that changed after Jesus walked the earth? Well, the primary difference is that when the risen Christ returned to his Father's side, God established a church to be the visible manifestation of his presence on earth. Though Jesus was no longer bodily present as a man, he was and still is present as a spiritual head of the newly established church. This is why in Colossians, Paul tells us, and he, that is Jesus, is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he may have preeminence. Colossians 1:18. God designed the church to function as a unified group whereby each individual part contributes to the whole. The church is a collection of diverse people to whom God grants a variety of gifts and insights. But although the membership is varied, there is only one God. His Spirit will accomplish only what God can do. And he will guide the members to work together as one healthy body, clearly understanding and carrying out the Father's will. Now, this seems like a huge responsibility. How can we possibly be expected to look like Jesus in the world we live in? How can we be God's ambassadors in our city without Jesus being physically present? And this is really the crux of the matter. Jesus actually told his followers that it was to their advantage that he should leave them and return to the Father. He promised his disciples the Holy Spirit. Now, that's quite a statement when you think of it. I mean, do we really believe that? Do we believe that it is better for us now that Jesus is gone? But Jesus was convinced this is true, and here's why. In the Old Testament, God filled a few key leaders with the Holy Spirit, but now the Holy Trinity would do his divine work within the hearts and minds of all believers. Through the Son, God brought salvation. Through the Holy Spirit, he would enable believers to experience that salvation. The Spirit works, then, guiding us, convicting us of sin, revealing God's truth, teaching God's ways, and reinforcing Christ's words. And we see this in action throughout the book of Acts, and especially in stories like Paul's from Acts 9 that we heard earlier. So now the question is, how do we follow the Holy Spirit's leading in practice? What does this look like? Well, first, we do not seek a word from God to prove He is real so we can have a relationship with Him. Rather, we seek to develop an intimate relationship with Him through diligent Bible reading and prayer. We will hear Him speak to us. God relates to individuals in a progressive way nowadays. In the Bible, someone's first meeting with God was often more dramatic than later encounters. The original discourse between God and Moses was the burning bush experience. A bright light literally blinded Saul of Tarsus when the risen Christ first confronted him. However, as each of these men grew in his relationship with God, God did not always need to use such dramatic means to gain their attention and to communicate His will. For instance, the Apostle Paul mentions hearing from God often, but apart from a couple of exceptions, the manner he describes seems to indicate an intimate daily communication, not a string of earth-shattering events. He guides people step by step, day by day, each new word building upon what he said previously. Likewise, Jesus taught his disciples in a progressive way. He did not speak to them about the cross, for example, until they had first come to understand that he was the Christ. They simply were not ready for such a stunning revelation before then. Now, as our relationship with God grows progressively, it is important to know that everything he speaks to us will line up with Scripture. God is holy. Therefore, he does not speak to people in an unholy manner. God's nature is also love, so his words always reflect perfect love. Now, there are two ways God gives his will to us today. In some situations, he still speaks with his specific will for a specific situation. And when God gives his specific will, he always makes it very clear what it means to follow. We see several instances of God's specific will throughout Scripture. For example, when God told Noah to build an ark, God didn't say, "Hey, Noah, it's going to rain for 40 days and nights. You better take whatever actions seem appropriate to you." No. Not only did God command Noah to build the ark, but he was also meticulously specific about the details of its construction. God's pointed guidance is not limited to the Old Testament. God continued to provide specific leadership for people throughout the New Testament. Similarly, with Philip the evangelist, who in the midst of a very successful evangelistic series of meetings, was told to leave and go to the desert and meet with someone there. It is believed that this Ethiopian eunuch brought Christianity to Africa. The Coptic church still exists today. Ananias was visited in a vision to heal Saul of his blindness. Peter saw a vision and was instructed to go with the three strangers and not to hesitate, for they were sent by God. It would be hard to read the Scriptures and miss the obvious specificity in the way God communicates. So God can and still does speak His specific will to us, but God also speaks to us with His general will as found in the Bible. All throughout the New Testament, Jesus and the apostles tell us what it means to live in a way that honors God. So Jesus says things like, "You have heard that it was said in these days of old, 'You shall not murder, and whoever murders will be in danger of the judgment.' But I say to you that whoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment." In situations like this, we know exactly what God's general will is for us in all situations. People who follow Jesus are to be people who are not controlled by our anger, and we can say the same about lust and dishonesty and love for our neighbors. And this is the general will of God that applies to all of us at all times. So people often wonder, what is God's will for my life? But actually, we already know it. We are to live our lives in a way that draws our neighbors to Jesus. This is God's will for all of us in every situation we find ourselves in. So God speaks to us through His specific will as well as his general will. Now, when it comes to following this will, it is important to remember that the Christian life is not a sprint. It's a long race. The way we begin is important. The way we end, even more so. When it comes to following Christ, what God wants you to do is obviously important, but so is how he wants you to do it. Those who want to remain in the race for its entirety must be willing to linger long enough to receive God's guidance, specific and general. In conclusion, we must affirm that the overwhelming testimony of Scripture is that God speaks to his children and God expects us to take his word seriously. When God speaks, be it with a specific detail or in a matter of general obedience, he intends for us to heed it. And this is where we often go wrong. When we feel like we don't know God's will for our life, the reality is that the communication problem is not on God's end, it is on ours. So I encourage you, if you are not presently hearing God's voice, take time to examine your relationship with God, with Christ. Is there unconfessed sins in your life? What about your relationship with your spouse, neighbors, the people in the church? Are you faithfully seeking God's guidance for your life? Are you alert and ready for what he will say? Have you obeyed the last direction he gave you? God's word is your life. Be extremely careful that you do not miss it. So let us pray. Dear Lord, nothing is more important than to do your will. We seek to know what is in your heart today and how we can adjust our lives to respond to your speaking to us. We confess we have been too busy and too self-absorbed to take the time and the efforts to still our hearts and listen to the Holy Spirit's leading. And now, as we end this service, we are determined to change how we treat the sacred time of prayer. It is with love for you and great awe and reverence, fear and trembling, that we approach your throne of grace and lay our lives before you for your service in the way you want us to go. Amen.